You've maybe put a puzzle together. We've got several puzzles at our home, and we do them with the kids a lot of times. It's a great excuse to get the kiddie ones, because then you don't have 5,000 pieces you have to try to put together. And so as we're putting together a 25-piece or a 50-piece, or you might really go big and do a 100-piece puzzle, that's big for our house. And you do that 100-piece puzzle, you get to the end, and you're missing a piece. Now, when you're missing a single piece of the puzzle, usually it doesn't make a big deal. You're really frustrated and disappointed, but you can still make out what the puzzle is, can't you? So that's not really that bad. However, if you are missing some keys, that is a big deal. If you've gone out and you're, for whatever reason, you don't carry your house key on the key ring with your vehicle key, and you're out and about, and then you get home, and the door's locked, and you reach in your pocket, and there's no house key there. That's a problem, isn't it? You know, I remember there was one time that we got into the, we got out of the house, it was locked up, went to get in the vehicle, and neither one of us had keys. We were able to open up the garage door, the big garage door. What I did is I went and checked all the windows, right? Because there's always a window you forget to latch. And so I checked all the windows, are all shut. So now what? So you double check, because of course you would have forgotten to lock some door. The front door, nope, it's locked. It's locked real good. Went down into the, we got the garage door open, the big garage door open. Went into the garage, and the garage door into the house, our garage is attached. And guess what? It was locked. That's when manpower kicked in. There's only one way to do this, and to do it right. So using all my great karate knowledge, I was able to, with one swift kick, pop in the basement door. So what a great joy that was to know that we were able to get our keys. It was not the very front door, so it would be a problem, an issue when we left. But it was not a great thing. When you don't have that key, even though it's a little piece of your life, that makes a big difference, doesn't it? If you don't have that key, that key is missing, you're missing something. Something substantial. A puzzle piece, it's not that substantial. A key, you can't get into your house or to your car. Then there's a danger if somebody knows that's your key, that they could come into your house, because now they do have a key. Our case was simple. Neither one of us had thought about bringing keys to go into the vehicle that you're going to drive, which you need a key for. I don't know how both of us managed to forget that, but we did. When it comes to your salvation, when it comes to your Christian walk, faith is not like a missing puzzle piece. Faith is a missing key. When you look here at Mark chapter 4, we've been going through the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, follow along here. On that day, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already being filled, but he was in the stern asleep on the pillow. Now, you might ask, how in the world was Jesus asleep during that time? Oh, I know why he was asleep during that time. He wanted the disciples to learn a lesson. And so he faked that he was sleeping on the pillow. No, that's not true. You see, Jesus was completely human. And being completely human, he needed sleep. He needed rest. He did not have a transformed body as after the resurrection. He had a body like you and I have. Yesterday we were out there in the street playing hockey. Remember when you used to play in the street? They say it's not safe anymore. I haven't learned a lesson. Still play in the street. And so Xander and I are out there playing hockey. And he was playing hockey. I was losing in the hockey. Nice thing is I'm bigger than him. It gives me a little bit of an advantage so I can push him around a little more. So we're playing out there playing hockey, and I don't know how long we were out there. I mean, it was maybe 20 minutes or so. And I said, I'm going to go check the baseball score game score. For Nebraska was playing UNLV. And I said, well, I'm going to go check the ball game. Yeah, I'm going to rest. We're human. We need rest, don't we? And so I went in for a little bit, rested, did a few things, and then before I came back out. But my body gets tired. Jesus had a human body, and he got tired. In fact, he must have been really tired because he's asleep in the front of the boat, and he's on that pillow, and the great storm had come, and it was beating on the boat, and you can imagine the way the boat was rocking back and forth, and he was still sleeping. He must have been exhausted. But Jesus is sleeping on the pillow. And they awoke Jesus, and they said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? Wow, look at that. Here are these disciples that they come up to Jesus and say, look, we, and not just talk about the disciples, but every single one of us is going to die. You know, rough seas make great waves in your life. They sure do. You've had some rough seas in your life, perhaps. Sometimes people ask the question, if God is so good, then why do so many bad things happen in the world? Sometimes they personalize it. If God is so loving, why is it that it seems like he just doesn't care about me? You know, we've got in our mind or our mentality that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, that everything in this life should go our way. We think that we should never have problems, that our loved ones should never have problems. And if something does, you know what our response typically is? Well, I must have done something bad to deserve this. That can be a response that we have. Or it can be, you know what? Maybe God doesn't really care about me the way he says he does. And that can produce fear. It can produce worry. It can produce great stress in your life. It can produce anger. God does love us very much. But when bad things happen, our perception of him changes. Sometimes we think we deserve the bad stuff that's going against us. Well, if we are dealing with the consequences of the sin, the sinful life that we're living, yeah, you do deserve it. But it doesn't mean that God isn't gracious to be able to help you. Maybe it's just the fact that you've recently lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe all of a sudden you've got some health issues or some great financial issues have taken place because the car has broke down. Whatever the case may be. The truth is that life is not always a bed of roses. Or if it is, the thorns haven't been taken off. Sin is the root of this. Could be the sin in our own life that's causing issues. If we sin by stealing and then get caught and end up in prison, our sin has gotten us into trouble, right? And so while there's rough seas for us, it's because we've done something wrong. However, somebody else's sin might affect you. If you go out today in the parking lot and you find that your car is not where you left it, somebody else's sin, stealing your car, has affected you. Now you're all going to think about whether or not your car is going to be out there the whole time, aren't you? It could happen, couldn't it? It's somebody else's sin that has brought to you rough seas. Then you have to go and make the police report, and somebody will take you home and then pick you up for church again tonight. And then you got to figure out, what are you going to do for work tomorrow unless they find your car today? What are you going to do for work tomorrow? And so again, there's rough seas causing great waves in your life. And then you have to go the hassle, if they don't find the vehicle, to go through the insurance and all of that. And who knows how it all turned out. You know, it'd be nice if life was always easy that way, but life can be tough, and a big piece of that is sin. Why is it that we get sick and die? Because of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they introduced sin into the world. And that is sin affecting us so that we, if nothing else, we will die. We get sick. We have to go to the dentist. All those things. Sin plays that role. You know, Job recognized the reality of it. He said, "Shall we accept good from God and shall we not accept adversity?" If you look here, here are the disciples. Now the disciples, they've been fishing on this lake. And they knew what it was like. How that is characteristic, even when you go today, that a storm can all of a sudden happen out there. A windstorm causing real rough seas. And so that storm could take place. They knew that. And they, even being skilled on the water, a good number of them were fishermen. And being skilled and been on the water that way, all of a sudden, it is bad enough. They've come to the point where they're waking Jesus up and they're saying, "We're going to die." That's how bad it was. It wasn't like if you and I from Nebraska, who the most water that we've seen is coming out of the faucet, unless we've taken a vacation out and seen the coast or something, or maybe some of you taken a cruise out there and seen all the sharks follow you. Can't wait till you jump in, right? That you've seen and witnessed some of that, but how many of us really have some skills on the water? I don't know that any of us have. But these people did. And if a little bit of waves and stuff started going and splashing in the boat, we might get real nervous, where they would say, "Oh, this is nothing. You know, this is typical." However, it's at the point they're saying, "Look, we are going to die." Have you ever gotten to the place in your life where things seem so rough that you thought, if not physically dying, you knew that life would really be a problem, really be hurtful for you? Really be hurtful for you. That being the case, you might have what they had, which is fear. Look how Jesus responds. They went to Jesus and they ran up to him. They said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Skip down to verse 40. He says, "Why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" He says, "You're being all scared." And that's what we typically do. The remote's not going here. The first point being, rough seas make great waves in your life. Those rough seas making the great waves in your life. What's the next thing that they do? The great waves create mighty fear. A doctor comes in. Well, it even starts before the doctor comes in. It starts at your home when you get the call from your doctor. That says, "Look, you haven't been here for a year. It's time for you to come in for your yearly checkup." And then all of a sudden you said, "Oh no." So you set the day 1 week from that day. And you know what you're doing for the next week? You're actually eating salad. You've never done that before. You're not eating donuts. You've all of a sudden started an exercise program. If you do 2 hours every day, then it'll make up for the whole rest of the year that you haven't done any exercise. So what you do all this exercise plan. Why? Because you want to be ready because there's a test. And you're going to go to the doctor. Why do you do all this stuff? Because you're afraid. You're afraid they're going to tell you what you already know. You're not eating healthily. And it looks like maybe you're eating too much or you're not eating the right sorts of things. Apparently, according to what we have here, you probably should be exercising more. You knew these things, but you didn't want the doctor to find out. They know it about everybody anyway. The doctor then, he says, we got some, want to run some tests on you just to see how you're doing. So they stab you in the arm and draw about 8 gallons of blood out of your body. And as they do that, they're talking along and helping you feel comfortable and talk about some of the experiences, other people. And then they come in and they say, okay, we've got all these tests and we'll give you a call tomorrow after the tests are done. And they don't call tomorrow. You know what that means. Must be really bad. And then the next day they finally call and you get so excited. Go, I'm going to be able to find out what the problem is, what I'm dying of. And fear for that whole time occurs. Maybe they say, well, we want you to come back in after for your test results. Then you get real nervous because you know if you have to go in a second time, that it's really bad. So you go back in, and guess what? It says, well, it looks like everything's fine. All that time, what did you do? You worried, you fretted, and all of that for what? For nothing. Now, sometimes they come in and say, you've got this or that. Then you really begin to fear and to fret, don't you? Sometimes we have something going on in our bodies we don't understand. And we feel fearful, especially until we get to the doctor who just tells us it's all in our head. So, well, I knew there was something up there. Fear has a great power over us, doesn't it? And we can live a life of fear or a life of faith. See, rough seas make great waves in your personal life. And as those great waves are having their effect in your life, they can produce mighty fear. So those great waves can create mighty fear, and in that mighty fear that it creates, we have to recognize that mighty fears are overcome with faith in Christ. Mighty fears are overcome with faith in Christ. They had been with Jesus for a little bit of time now. They had seen Jesus take a blind man and cause him to see. A deaf man and cause him to hear. A man that could not speak and cause him to be able to speak. Take a man who couldn't walk just spoke to him. And that man was able to jump up, pick up his bed, and walk home, or even run home if he wanted to. He may have run home, dropped off his bed, and told all his friends. They'd seen Jesus do that. They'd seen Jesus with people that were demon-possessed, like for really demon-possessed. And he spoke, and the demons were cast out. They'd seen that. Verse 39, Jesus, he rises up. Maybe rubs his eyes a little bit from being tired. He rose and rebuked the wind and said, my versions, the New King James says, peace be still. Did a little research. That's not what it says. It says, quiet! Be silent. That's what the Greek is there. It's the same words that he used when the demons would profess who he is, and he would say, silence. It is not for you to do that. The waves are crashing up against the boat. The wind is causing the waves and the boat to go rocking back and forth. And there's fear. The water is coming into a boat. Do you know water is supposed to be outside the boat, not inside the boat? It was inside the boat, and they're praying, God, help us. They picked up Jesus. Hey, don't you care we're going to die? Isn't that what happens when we're fearful? We question whether or not God cares about us. Jesus says here, why are you so fearful? How is it that you do not have faith? Consider them. How they'd seen what he could do. And they come up with a situation, instead of saying, Jesus, could you help us out here? They said, we're all going to die. Including you too. Don't you care? After all that Jesus had done, they didn't realize he could do this. After Jesus tells the wind and the sea to cease, they said the wind ceased and there was a great calm. In verse 41 it says, they feared exceedingly, saying to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the seas obey him? Wow, what kind of man is this? Well, they should have seen that to begin with, because of all the things he had done. How is it they didn't believe that he could do what he did? Consider how God cares for you. In Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, it says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But, this is an easy one in my case, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God cares for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love towards you, in that while you were sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Consider that. God loves you. God cares for you. So why are we so fearful in our living? Christians ought not to live in fear, but to live in faith. When you go to school, we got teens here. When you go to school, are you afraid of all the other kids that are going to be there to bully you? To tell you you dress funny, you smell funny, you look funny? Are you afraid of the fact that you're going to show up in class and there's going to be a pop quiz? That's always a great reason to skip class. I never did. I was a good kid. I never skipped. They can't believe it. They're back there just like, nah, he's got to be lying. There are some classes I would have liked to skip. But I was a good kid. I didn't skip any classes. But a good reason to skip a class is you find out there's a pop quiz in there, and you're afraid you're going to get a bad grade. You go to school and you're afraid that so-and-so is going to make fun of you for one reason or another. You're afraid that you're not able to be good enough to get good grades on your test. Now, a lot of that has to do with the things that you are doing. If you are acting friendly towards other people, that helps build friendship. If you are studying the way that your teachers tell you you're supposed to, then you'll do better on those pop. Nobody passes a pop quiz, but you can imagine that you'll do better on a pop quiz. They'll at least do good on the final. When you're at work, what's it like? Are you afraid the boss is going to yell at you? Are you afraid that you're not going to be a good witness? Are you afraid? What are you afraid of at work? What are you afraid of in your neighborhood? Maybe you're in the type of neighborhood you're afraid to get shot. Nice thing about Omaha, we just got the whole spectrum here, don't we? If you want, you can go certain parts of Omaha and get shot. If you want, you can go certain parts of Omaha and really, really enjoy some of the better places there are to be. Boy, talk about diversity. We got a lot of diversity here, don't we, for that. We tend to fear, but we ought not to fear. Sometimes we're afraid to go before God. If I go and ask God about this, I'm afraid He's going to say no. If I want something from God, I'm afraid that He's going to say, that's absolutely ridiculous. I've got so many other things to do. Why do I even care about that? If He cares about every hair that's on or not on my head, does He care if I have a hangnail? Yeah, He does. God loves us. And He wants us to overcome those mighty fears with faith in Him. If I have absolute trust in what God will do, can do in my life to take care of me, when the doctor does come in and say, I've got some bad news for you, that doesn't mean I'll be jumping up and down for joy. But I need to turn my trust unto God. Who? What did Jesus do? He was able to tell the wind and the waves, stop! And they stopped. He was able to take the blind man and say, look! And He was able to see. The deaf He made hear. He told the lame man, stand up! The guy was paralyzed. He was apparently at least, or possibly a quadriplegic, and could not, he had his bed carried everywhere he went. And yet, God could immediately heal him instantly. God can do that for us as well. That doesn't mean that we say, well, I'm not going to make the most of the opportunities that there are. There's medical opportunities, and so God can use those means in my life in order to take care of whatever I am dealing with, an illness or disease. You know, it doesn't have to be the doctor. What about those financial bills? What about the hardships that way? What about the issues that you're having with other people? Whatever it is that is causing fear in your life, can you transfer that fear into faith? You have to go and say, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I am going to trust God to help me do it. Some people live by their fear. The disciples, they weren't living by their fear. They were so fearful, they would not have crossed the sea. They would have said, well, Lord, you know that there can be those winds that come up, and we really don't want to have to deal with that. They didn't say that. Their Lord said, I want to go to the other side. They said, all right, let's go. And so they went. They weren't living life of fear, but there was fear that came. Let me ask you, are you going through some rough seas right now in your life? Are they making great waves crashing against your boat? Are they bringing upon you fear and discouragement and disappointment? Are they bringing upon you just such a heavy burden, a heavy load, that you just don't know how to deal with it? Those great waves, they can create mighty fear. Or are you taking those things before the Lord? See, mighty fear is overcome by great faith in Christ. You don't need the answers. Sometimes we think, if we're just in control, if we at least know how it's going to end up in the end, then we'll be okay. But what kind of faith is that? It's like watching a Husker game and watching the Huskers play Iowa. And you already know the end result, don't you? Huskers are going to crush them. And so when you watch the game and you see that the Huskers are down a little bit, you're not worried because you know what? Huskers are going to win in the end. But what if they're playing and you don't know what the end result's going to be? Then you see that your team is down, you're nervous and scared. That's the way we deal with life, isn't it? If we don't know what the way it's going to turn out at the end, we're afraid. We need to stop having that mentality and start having the mentality to say, God, I don't know what the end result's going to be, but I know you can handle it. Here we see that the great storm had come, and sometimes it seems like God doesn't care, like He's sleeping, He's out of the picture, because we don't think those things should happen in our lives. And yet, when we go and appeal to the Lord and say, God, don't you care? He says, I've cared the whole time. I've been here with you the whole time. And then when we put our trust in Him, and say, Lord, you know, I know you care. And I know that you will take care of this. And I don't have a clue how. But instead of me having this burden upon myself, I give it to you to deal with. You handle it. It's a blessing as a pastor to have people who are willing to help. Willing to take things over so that way it's nothing I have to handle. And it takes that burden off of me. And so we've got Sunday school teachers in here. We've got vacation Bible school teachers in here. We've got some people that will visit other people and encourage them. And it helps take a load off of the many responsibilities that I have. And you know the same is true for you. When you go home and you ask your husband or your wife or your kids to help you out with something or to take something over, you know it's nothing you have to worry about then because you've handed that off for them to deal with. We need to behave the same way with the Lord. Lord, I know that there's these rough seas that are happening in my life, but I surrender my fear to you. And I ask that you help me to be faith, to have the faith that I need that you will carry me through this. So that way I don't live fearful, rather I live faithful. The Christian faith is essential to living a Christian life without fear. Whether it's fear of telling somebody about Christ or inviting them to come, it's fear about a situation that's going on in our own life, maybe it's fear of what's happening in this world. But when you've got your trust in what God is going to do, you can say, I don't know, but I don't have to be afraid of it. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we don't have to know the end from the beginning to not be fearful. I thank you that we don't have to go through this life blind and unconcerned, concerned and worried about everything that's going on because we know we can put our trust in you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us that as we look at your word and as we follow your Spirit, that we will live a life full of faith rather than fear. It's a very difficult thing, Father, so we ask your grace in this. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.